So you've come here for the truth. Well, we've got the truth and nothing but the truth. Here are your hosts, Robert A. Bianchi and David J. Bruno.
You're listening to WMTR Radio's Nothing But the Truth with your hosts, Bob Bianchi and Dave Bruno. Two lawyers, a show about mindset. It's crazy, Dave. It's the two lawyers having a show about mindset. It's insane.
It is. Just, our goal is to deliver value. We talk about mindset, hacks, and we have another great one for our audience today. Very happy to deliver to you Sean Schofield. He is a PhD, and he's got it in higher education policy, planning, and leadership from William and Mary. And presently, he is the executive director of career services at Muhlenberg College. And he also worked for William and Mary and also Montclair State University, and grew up in New Jersey, another New Jersey native here, coming, delivering value to our audience here on Nothing But the Truth.
You know, it's funny. I had to make a comment on this because, you know, we try to find guests that have great ability to be able to help our audience with mindset. And it seems like, you know, I'd say about 75% of them just coincidentally come from Jersey. I don't know, does Jersey have a market on mindset, you think?
It's a great point that you make. It's also helpful to our audience to hear from people from New Jersey. But not only Jersey, though. Sean is excellent on LinkedIn, too, Bob. And you know I've been banging on the LinkedIn drum with, right? This is where I found you, Sean. I saw the value that you're pumping out to a community of students. And we correlate well to this audience and community of yours, because as lawyers, we found that we have a lot to give back as well. And we do that through our Careers in Law workshop. And we will be having another group and curriculum in the fall. So I think it's a perfect crossing of paths here with Sean. And definitely, just to start the show, if you could, please tell our audience what you're doing, and we'll talk a little bit more about your position.
Yeah, sure. So actually, in addition, I've recently, 2 weeks ago, started a new role. So I know that resume even's a little out of date at this point. I've accepted a position, and actually from where I sit right now, I am now the Assistant Vice President for Life and Career Design for Wheaton College up in Massachusetts. And it's kind of allowing me to build into more of this thought of how can we make careers and this shift in mindset of students to think no more of careers as a destination, but as something that they actively participate in throughout their college experience. And even they've done a lot of that thinking before their college experience, and they've built some of those values, those interests, those skills that are leading their decision-making, whether they know it or not, bringing that to the forefront of how they view themselves and their involvement, and then leveraging that to really help them make stronger career decisions for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the resume actually, and it's interesting because we were talking off set before. Adept at leading strategic planning cycles for higher education, and you were talking about. I think I may have heard, and correct me if I'm wrong. Bringing them to a student or a person to a place where they recognize something that they didn't recognize in themselves in order to fit what their life goal may be. Can you explain that better than I just did?
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, the thinking that we do every day, a lot of our thinking is kind of on autopilot, right? We learn through experience, and then we kind of apply what we've learned, but we don't actually stop and metacognitively think about our thinking and thinking of ourselves as thinkers. And that's really abstract. But what we like to do is kind of pause in conversation with students and talk about the values and the other inputs that help them to arrive at the decisions, so that they're not just making choices without thinking about it. They're actually informing their choice making, but also it helps them to be predictive about the choices that they can make better in the future. So if you kind of go through life and you make decisions and it feels reactionary, there's a lot more that goes into it. And developing that hired mindset is really about becoming a thinker about the choices and the way that you think. Very abstract.
But. I mean, I think there's actually a lot of pragmatism to what it is that you're saying, because I've noticed in a career of being a leader and seeing all sorts of different people of generations and skill sets, there are people, you use the word I think is very appropriate, that are reactive. They may not be proactive, they may not be thinking strategically, and so their decisions, their emotions, their mindset is never really in control. And I think that there's, so maybe you talk to that, and I also think that there was a sense of me growing up where people would say, well, you don't want to be controlled, right? You want to be a free thinker. And that can lead to, I think, very random results. Does that make sense to you?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, one of the things that we're challenged, and especially generational differences, one of the things that we're really challenged to help students think about is external locus of control versus internal locus of control. So who gets to pull the strings in your life? And a lot of students, they come out of an educational experience from kindergarten through 12th grade, and a lot of times they see themselves as the person that's downloading information. They have adults that are in their lives via their parents or caring adults, their teachers, systems that are in place that really make decisions for them. And then they come to college and they start to be, you know, responsible for making some of those decisions for themselves. And a lot of times they just don't know where to start. And that's why I think helping to get students in the door and thinking about who am I? What is my identity as a decision maker, but also with ownership and agency in my own life? Because really, once they get finished with college, we kind of dump them out there and we say, all right, go do the adult thing. And a lot of students come back and they really struggle with that final transition. And we see some that are like, I'm just going to go to graduate school so I can keep downloading. And we really want to challenge them to think about what intentional steps are they taking to not only explore and learn more about themselves in doing so, but also explore to see what options are out there. Because I will never knock graduate school. I went to graduate school twice. I loved it. I got two advanced degrees. But they have to be part of an intentional plan. It can't just be reactive and say, I don't know what I'm doing now. Let me just keep getting degrees. You're delaying your income. You're adding a lot of times more debt to the equation. And if you are going right into graduate school, let's make sure it's part of a real plan. Like, you might need to go get a Juris Doctorate. If you want to go be an attorney, there's going to be a next step for you. But don't just take on that grad debt and delay because you don't want to make the decision now.
Wow. Unbelievable. Speaking my language, one of my favorite quotes by Viktor Frankl talks about the space between the stimulus and the response and the place for the most growth and opportunity, really, to make decisions instead of the really impactful, really immediate response of emotion, right? Can you talk a little bit about that quote and that idea?
Yeah, I love Man's Search for Meaning. I think that you're really speaking in a way that helps people to stop and be reflective. I think that one of the challenges is when we get into that reactive mindset, one of the challenges is we totally lose control of our ability to own our lives and our decision making. But if we stop and pause ourselves to think for a little while, it can sometimes provide us with opportunity that we would have not, if we were just reactive, we would not have seen it. It's also akin to this concept of the closer you get, problems are like brick walls. The closer you get to that brick wall, harder it is to see around it. And if you stop and pause and reflect, and what Frankl talks about, making sure that thinking and becomes part of your choice-making process and your meaning-making process, I think that really gives us the ability to see around the obstacle or to see the obstacle within the greater context. When we talk about the field, it's always part of a larger context. An obstacle or a challenge is just one component. And in order to see the forest, you actually have to be able to back up and take a moment and look around the one tree that maybe you're nose to nose with.
And it's funny, you mentioned college. And so I went to Providence College, which was a Dominican college. But one of the things I loved about those Dominican friars was that they talked about what's your why before that was a phrase that people would use. What's your purpose? What's your mission? What are you going to do to make other people's lives better? So there was this great sense of direction. Not necessarily specifically, but direction, intentionality as to what it was you were doing. And I think one of the most challenging things in my career, and talk to me about whether or not your space deals with people like me, middle-aged guy, maybe a little bit more, but at the time I was. And I had achieved a career objective that I worked for, was very proud of, was delivering value to other people. It was a very important job, but it ended. And I always talk about this, Dave knows the story well. It was the first time in my life that I can remember or think of, my adult life certainly, where I lost my, what's my why? And where am I? It was a listlessness that I had never had before. And I had achieved the career goal, the career dream. It was over, term ended. And now I'm sitting there trying to figure out what's next. Is that a common thing to you, or do you have any insights into that?
Incredibly common. I think that as now more than ever, careers are longer than they have been. People are finding meaningful work with respect to their values and what they're really interested in later in life and transitioning later in life. Long gone for especially people today that are entering their career is this thought of, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this for 35 years, collect a pension and go home. It's really transitioned into this period of reinvention. And a lot of the work that I've done, and I've worked with clients everywhere from, you know, my oldest client I've ever worked with was 70 years old, right? But just still wanting to make a difference, still having those feelings of, I want to author something. I want to be a creator and bring something of my passion to the world through work. There's really no limit to when that stops. I think even in retirement, I work with people that are just trying to understand recreational life and activities as a new form of a career. But I see all the time what you described is something that I think more and more people are getting to, and students get to it too in a way, because especially the longer you kind of fantasize about an end goal, when you reach it, the harder it is to say, well, what comes next? And a lot of the work that I do with people when they're at that point, which is usually just a pivot point for them, and on the longer time frame, and when we go ahead and start pulling back and understanding the larger picture, it's just one point on this whole long journey. And really, we want to focus on getting back to that curiosity question. What are you curious about? In our center, we really focus on curiosity because it's a really approachable thing. What do you wonder about? What are things that are really interesting that maybe you want to learn more about so you can explain better? With students now, also impact is huge. And also that works a lot with people that are later in their careers. Often they've done what they've done, and now they're like, how am I going to have an impact now? And maybe that impact is giving back. Maybe that impact is generating more wealth. Maybe that impact is generating something with flexibility. But that drive stays with us. It does not change. But it just looks different.
That's perfect. It's a great time for a break now. And I got a question for you that's going to pick up on that when we come back on the other end. Very well said. You're listening to WMTR Radio. It's Nothing But the Truth. Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruno. We'll be right back.
At the Bianchi Law Group, our team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys specialize in criminal defense and domestic violence cases. When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.
Okay, welcome back. So, Sean, listen, I mean, it's really, really insightful stuff. And when you know, I'm going to tell you another insight into something that I found very interesting recently. And again, stuff that Dave and everyone in the office knows. I went through a period of this year saying to myself, okay, I've achieved those career objectives. We were talking about that in the last segment. And I really love having a partner like Dave and the law firm that I have and things like that. But I thought to myself this in January, and I'm not a big New Year's guy, but what did I lose along the way? And I started thinking of this like term of reclaiming. Like, for example, I was an amateur magician and I put so much time and things into that. And the other thing was being an emergency medical technician, an EMT. And it was something I did for thousands of calls. I volunteered. I did it professionally. And to the point that you're raising, I said, you know what? I want to go back. It's 37 years later and I want to take the EMT course again. I was the oldest guy in the course, okay? But I love love the idea you had to walk through the door, you had to make yourself vulnerable, you had to be tested constantly. It was testing your mental status, your emotional, your physical. You're putting yourself on the line, but at the end, it was a skill set that I was going to be able to translate and reclaim helping people down the road. What I found interesting was some people were very positive about that, but there were some people that were looked at it askance. It was surprising to me. There were some people in my life that are like, well, why are you doing this? And how come? And I'm like, even my wife to a certain extent says, can't you just do something simple like learn pickleball? Does that make any, I'm curious if you have any insight into that.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that it speaks to, and people might struggle to understand that the spirit of learning and generativity does not end as we go through our career. If anything, what I've learned for myself is the more that I learn, the more I recognize I want to go deeper in this. Like I want to I feel like I have less and less time to do it. And reclaiming things that were exciting and important, those values probably didn't change. Like you probably have the value to help people. You might really love the technical aspects of that role. It might be something that means a lot and it was part of your identity. And when people struggle to understand that, I think they think of it career as linear. And a career is not linear. And the way that we look at careers, if we look at it from one point to another, sure, that looks like backtracking. But in reality, careers are a number of just parallel lines all running at the same time. And in what you want to pour your energy into changes over time and different life events, you know, we have to really position our careers within our greater life sphere and understanding that at a certain point in time, pouring your energy into something that might be really exciting and interesting, but maybe doesn't help you earn income, support a family, do whatever else you're trying to accomplish, you might pause that for a moment. But there is always that opportunity to pick it up. And I think people really struggle because they see it as backtracking, but that's because their brain is thinking linearly. And that's not how careers are anymore. Yeah. It's much more of a bird's nest.
I love the message because, you know, I definitely learned a lot through COVID. When everything came to a screeching halt for us, Bob and I, we worked hard on the business. As lawyers, trial lawyers, we were very good at what we did. We walked into courtrooms, we could cross-examine witnesses, we could object with the rules of evidence. But then when we had the opportunity to learn business, we realized together, it's about learning new skills as you go. Because nowadays, with all of the information out there, YouTube, online courses, masterminds, masterclasses, and all the things. I think it is a great message, Sean, to talk about the resources that are out there to allow people to better their lives and their skills.
Absolutely. And I think that what you're referring to is this democratization of learning and also just providing that accessibility for people to learn. When COVID happened, I became a woodworker. I had never done anything in woodworking before in my life, but I felt the need to do something. I was writing a dissertation at the time, but I still was like, I need some physical outlet for my energy and to build things. And I used YouTube for everything, right? Like it was, I'd learn how to use a tool on YouTube and then I'd learn technique on YouTube and it was really powerful. And I think what we're seeing is there is so much more access. And even when we think about, I think for the longest time, higher education has kind of owned the model of education and learning for in a lot of ways, even the respect that went along with it. But what we're seeing now with the opportunity for credentials and the opportunity to skill up, especially now with automation and AI, they're giving a lot more power back to the people. And what I see myself as more as a trainer of how to use all of this power in the best possible way and to keep thinking through themes of what do I want to grow in so that it doesn't just feel like this frenetic, I'm going to learn this, then I'm going to learn this. But like, let's almost model it like a unit and you can learn through. And what you speak about too, I mean, most attorneys that I know, certainly attorneys with private practice, entrepreneurs, right? And there's that business skill set and you're solving problems for people and learning that and pouring into that, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I think something that with Dave, I know has a follow-up with you, but I mean, something that was interesting to me was you said earlier when we first started, it's how you perceive yourself and can you basically open yourself up to see when that happened, We have this thing in the law, for some reason they drill you with, it's a profession, it's not a business. It's a profession, it's not a business. And it wasn't until a guy spoke to us during COVID, one of our first business coaches, that the more that you can get the scale, right, the more people you can help. So all you do by not scaling your business is help less people. And that was a really epiphanic moment for me. I was like, wow, that's amazing. That little phrase, that little insight turned my whole mindset around about the business. Right, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When we talk about those resources again, right? There's tons of information, right? You even started talking about how our thoughts are on autopilot. And I think that time management and prioritizing the right information is an important conversation to have too. Because there's 24 hours in a day, same as me, Bob, you, Sean, and Elon Musk. But there are a lot of people, students, law school students, elders, and everywhere in between, that are just wasting their time on stuff that does not help them in their life.
Right.
Thoughts and comments?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you speak about is kind of getting towards what I was talking about, those themes. One of the things, an exercise I like to do with people is, in order to get this understanding of where they are, we work through this. There's eight dimensions of wellness in my mind, right? There's financial wellness. There's home, like life wellness. There's actually a wellness wheel, and it's a really great tool to use. I like to have people think about, what are the areas in their life right now that maybe they're not aware, they're feeling dissonance because they're lacking in that area? And what would help them to kind of bolster that area so that they don't feel that pain? Because if you, in any of those eight dimensions of wellness, are lacking, it's going to have a depleting effect on the whole, on your whole being. So to do that, it sometimes can help people prioritize. So if one, physical wellness, right? If your physical wellness is in trouble, mine was. I was really overweight, and I was really kind of participating in just unhealthy habits, unhealthy eating, unhealthy sleeping. And what I didn't know until I stopped and looked at my wellness wheel was, my goodness, that's bleeding into everything. My energy is low. It's hurting my mental capacity. I'm feeling less motivated. So helping people understand where they can kind of pour a lot of their energy is helpful, but then also helping them to be discerning with the resources that they're accessing. Because like you mentioned, nowadays, everybody can have a YouTube channel. Everybody can have a training that they're putting together. And a lot of them are garbage. They're just really bad. And they might be spreading misinformation. That's something. So the other thing that I love to train people on is, when they're going through something, vet it. Go through the system. Does it sound too good to be true? Yes. If it does, it probably is, right? But also, follow the money. Like, what is the motivation here? And helping to see people, helping people see any kind of these channels for what they are. But yeah, I think that as they're becoming, I don't want to say that I'm trying to get them to be skeptics, but people should be skeptical.
Yeah, that's mind blowing. I got so many things in my head about. So do you counsel just students, or are you have a business where you're also counseling other individuals as well?
So it's funny, the business is kind of paused right now because I've taken on this new endeavor. I still do work with a very strong group of mentees, that I would call, that I'm supporting through their career development and being a sounding board for them at this point. And at one point, I will kind of come back to building up the business, the Hired Mindset brand. And it's just, it's on pause as this new endeavor is definitely all consuming right now.
Yeah, because I think you show extraordinary talent in the way that you express yourself, and again, just going back to the experience that I just had, having gone through a very, very intensive educational experience, one thing that I also came away with was, I was having information thrown at me like a fire hose, but it, because of the way it was structured, I was nonstop studying, but I'm like, oh my gosh, now that it's over, all the time that I waste not really doing anything, because this showed me the amount of time that can be put into something if you put your mind to it. So we got about maybe 30 seconds left. I don't know if you want to comment on how structure can make a big difference in productivity.
Sure. One thing I always try to work with people on is understanding what type of learner they are, because that structure makes a huge difference to some people. Some people love learning by getting a lot of information from an expert. Some people need to learn through experience. And if you can understand the type of learner and how you learn best, that's how I would guide you to look at resources and to look at next steps so that you can go out there and test and understand what this is and kind of get deeper into something. But if you don't enjoy it, if you're a very visual person and something's just very cut and dry, you're probably going to lose interest. And that's something that comes from self-awareness too.
Yeah. And I think the bottom line to it all is that whatever it is that you do, get somebody like you, have a mentor like you, but be passionate about it. Love what you do. Then it's not a prison sentence. It's a career. So Dave, listen, Sean, first of all, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn, as David mentioned, and love that resource. I have a website, hiredmindset.com. That's another thing. And on LinkedIn through the connections, that's where I've also, connected with folks, and they've asked me to come speak, or they've asked me to, work with them one-on-one. I'm always excited to work with people.
Awesome.
Look, the resources, again, just highlights. You have people like Sean out there that are putting out content, putting out value. This man has a PhD. He has a doctorate in this area, really pumping out great value. That is where I found you, Sean, just the stuff that you're posting, and I find it valuable myself. So thank you for everything you do. And for us here at Nothing But The Truth, we are every Saturday on WMTR at 9:30 a.m. And we're also live streaming on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. And our webpage, nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com, where we have all of our interviews, including video. We're taking video today from Sean. If you hear it on the radio, it's also available on video.
All right. Well, you just got done listening to Sean Schofield, PhD. It was amazing. And so we have decided we are going to have him come back for an additional bonus. We even got a bonus, and then we're going to have a bonus because we have a second one, Dave. So that'll be coming up next week, right?
Second episode rolling. We're going to fill another entire episode with Sean. And like Bob said, we had this special little moment on the set where we said, we got to talk about this topic. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's going to be special.
Special secret.
But it's a bonus episode. So you have episode number 2 with Sean coming at you. And then there's going to be a bonus segment that's going to be given to our community and our email list and our platform. It's
lots of Sean. We got a Sean 1. We got a Sean 2. And in between that, we got a bonus.
Bob Bianchi came out with a bell, a bonus bell. He's ding, ding, ding.
Bonus bell. All right. That's it. Okay.
We're the Bianchi Law Group, a team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys.
But here's the thing. He put himself in a box when he said my
relied on by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Law and Crime, and news leaders across the country for our criminal defense expertise.
To get a search warrant, you have to have probable cause that a crime's been committed and there's evidence in a particular place.
When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.